Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. On this program, we'll be discussing some of the challenges and innovations that small businesses are facing during COVID-19. KVNF spoke with two community leaders who shared some great marketing ideas, social media tips, and the importance of being able to pivot during this pandemic. First, we'll hear from Chelsea Rosti, Director of Business Innovation and Tourism for the City of Montrose, Colorado, and Montrose DART, the Development and Revitalization Team. I asked Chelsea to talk about what's going on with small businesses in Montrose County and to share some of the highlights she's seen so far.
What we hoped would happen, we're seeing happen in Montrose County with respect to the way that businesses are behaving and the way they're treating each other. And that being that a lot of businesses are working together. A lot of businesses are learning from each other, and they're also teaching each other willingly. And so this is something that we might not have seen, you know, before this, because competition was stiff, things were hopping with the economy. And so it's just been really cool to see the helping hand extended and others take advantage of it. That being said, you know, what I'm seeing right now in Montrose is some businesses that are just strong and they want to move forward. And we've been joking recently that we don't even want to use the phrase economic recovery, because it's almost like we just had a timeout in Montrose. Without being insensitive to some of the suffering that has occurred, it certainly has, but people are moving forward here, and it's just great to see. And we're seeing numbers that are supporting that, like in our sales tax performance, as well as our building permit performance. You know, we've seen a lot of innovation, sort of where we have gyms that have found a way to host small classes so that they can be considered personal training instead of like having the answer be no, because gyms are not allowed to be open. Gyms have found a way to tape off 6-foot areas within, you know, their walls and keep people within those areas and put on small fitness classes to get their members back in the gym and together. We've seen, you know, our distillery, Storm King Distilling here in Montrose, is just an amazing business. These guys are awesome. They started mixing drinks and bottling them when the pandemic began. And so they make all the ingredients right there in-house, and then they'll make, you know, your margaritas or any of your other favorite drinks and then bottle them up and seal them up. And it seems simple when you talk about it, but, you know, they didn't have to do that before. People would come in and order a drink and go on their way. And so it's been cool because they now have a new product that they're going to keep on the menu moving forward. And it's allowed them to keep their revenue really consistent and stay open and keep someone employed.
What's been the most surprising, innovative idea you've seen come out of this?
You know, I think that a lot of it is smaller things that are sort of everyday things, you know, like our library now delivering to homes, getting, you know, drinks delivered to your doorstep from restaurants, finding a way to make that fun and interesting.
So what would you recommend to a small business who kind of might feel stuck right now but wants to engage their consumer in some kind of way? How would you recommend them start the process of finding a good collaborator?
Social media has become just paramount right now for small business. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's a necessity for almost every small business right now getting through this. And one of the things that I saw during the pandemic was, again, going back to the topic of gyms, CrossFit gym. It was like they did not miss a beat. You know, this is a gym that has a very high membership rate. You know, you have to pay almost $100 a month to be a member there. And so if you can imagine getting the news that you have to close your doors and finding a way to create value for a $100 membership. But they didn't miss a beat. It turned around within 2 days and had programmed at-home workouts where they posted videos of themselves. Each different trainer would have a day, and they would talk about the workout, talk about how to modify it at home with things like rocks and milk jugs and grocery bags full of canned goods, stuff like that. They allowed members to check out equipment and take them home with a deposit, and then they just engaged their community online. People would post photos of themselves and their workout times, and then it became this togetherness. What that did then is allow other businesses to learn about how to engage so frequently with their customers. And so then, you know, restaurants were always pretty good at this because they would post, you know, the special of the day and that kind of thing. But they really started becoming more engaging and getting on video and talking about their specials. Again, with the distillery, went and put a bunch of money on account at all the coffee shops and said, have one on us. And so encouraged locals in the community to go have a cup of coffee on the distillery. So they're learning from each other. They're reaching out from each other and they're watching through social media, which is this instant information piece on how to engage with the customer. We also had a downtown business that is a clothing boutique and quickly was able to innovate. It's called Shishi Boutique, and so they were called Shishi Fixes, and these were sort of like Stitch Fix or the Bark Box, where you could get the clothes that you love from Shishi delivered to your doorstep, try them on, and then send them back if you didn't like them. This boutique also did live fashion shows through social media. And again, social media, that online presence really being the way to engage. And so what I would encourage businesses, small businesses out there, there's so many amazing examples of cool things to do. Even the city of Montrose, you know, my employer, if you look at the way that we engage on social media, it is just miles different than it was 3 months ago. We're playful, we're posting often, we're giving a lot of information, there's video, you know, all those type of things. And so that is something that I've really seen evolve, even though we thought we were evolved before with mm-hmm. that.
It definitely seems like the need to be able to be accessible in your consumer's home or have the ability to deliver to your consumer's home is imperative.
Yeah. So if you're a service or if you're a product or if you're both, how do you get inside your customer's home? And that's really like the first question as a business owner that I would ask myself. And studies are showing, or the experts, quote unquote, are predicting that the economy will continue to demand that delivery type of service, even moving forward, because they've rather grown to like it. You know, my coffee roaster delivered my bag of coffee to my doorstep, and it was amazing. And so there's a possibility that that could continue forward, especially as we slowly come out of the pandemic and people are still a little bit apprehensive to go back into the public, even though the business may be open. Businesses should really be flexible with their customer base where they can.
Yeah. What are some resources in Montrose County for a business owner who has no idea where to start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have Region 10, which is our small business development center and really provides the ground level education and funding for small business in Montrose. It's an amazing organization and a great partner of ours. And that's actually available for Delta and Montrose counties too. So any of those businesses within the listening area can get with Region 10. But they have free business consulting, which includes sort of that marketing piece, the social media piece, maybe budgeting, finance, those type of things. And so that's all available at region10.net. And then you can go there and sort of explore your options, reach out to consultants. Montrose also has DART, which is the Montrose Development and Revitalization Team. It's under the umbrella of the City of Montrose, and that's the organization that's been really working together with Montrose County and, again, Region 10 to lift up the small business community. And so cityofmontrose.org/DART or cityofmontrose.org/COVID-19, and then you click on Business Resources under the COVID-19 page, and you'll find a plethora of ideas. Like the City of Montrose has a marketing grant. Their only requirement is that you team up with another business, learn two other businesses, and there's a lot of information available there. We host weekly business calls that anyone can attend, and oftentimes we have like a county commissioner, a city manager, social media experts there, and we're going to continue to host those. They're 30 minutes long on Wednesday mornings at 8:30 a.m., and it's really just a time for businesses to get this type of information. I've had a lot of great response from businesses and even other users, even like government workers and people like that in the region who hop on the call and just get information about what's happening in the business community. And they're also getting ideas from each other. For instance, like one Wednesday we did, you know, the innovations that stick. And we talked about the different innovations that businesses have done in Montrose and that they're going to actually carry forward. So that's a great resource. In Montrose County, we also have a group of business ambassadors that a business could reach out to for any of the above. And so this is a team of county commissioner, the mayor of Montrose, myself, the DART program assistant, other volunteers within the community who have been specially trained by our medical advisor. And we can go out into the business, have a one-on-one meeting with them in, you know, masks, of course, walk through their business, talk about different ideas, how to safely open, how to safely transition, and then also hook them up with that marketing and other advisory assistance.
It's so nice to hear and see so much support from a city and a county. You're really in tune with your local businesses.
Yeah, I am proud of that. So thank you for saying that. We wanted to build those relationships in case of something like this, but also because that's the right thing to do. And so we always want to have a strong relationship with the business community because that is the community. So, you know, we've said the whole time in Montrose County, the priority is life, but secondly, the economy. And we've really lived that. And so I'm just really proud of the leadership of both governments on the local level, the county commissioners and the city council. They have just been swift and supportive, and they've advocated for the businesses. They've enabled staff to do things, you know, like change over pools of money to lend businesses out, you know, $5,000 microloans with no interest and no repayment for 12 months. They've, you know, Sue Hansen from Montrose County, she's a Montrose County commissioner, former, you know, business owner. She has just worked tirelessly on the behalf of these businesses. And so it's pretty cool to have a Montrose County commissioner show up at your business with a bag full of masks for free for your employees and a heart willing to help. And so it's really neat. And we've worked for 10 years, really, since the last recession to diversify our economy and to build these relationships so that if we faced another economic downturn, nobody would have ever foreseen the one that we're in right now, but that we would be stronger. And we are stronger because of those relationships. And I do believe Montrose is just going to sort of kick right back up. And it's not going to be exactly like it was before the pandemic, but I really believe because of those relationships and because of the diversification of our economy, the support of the local governments and partner organizations, we're going to come through it. So
yeah,
it's been really good. So
yeah, and I love your optimism. And I think that's kind of the mentality we need to have and be focused more on what is possible right now. What can we do together? What does make sense? How can we problem solve instead of just looking at this in a fearful perspective? So I really appreciate your optimism and confidence in the resilience of our communities.
Thank you. I think it's a testament to the kind of people we have out west. You know, it's strong backs and soft hearts and just people willing to help. I mean, the amount of charity that's come out of our community alone is a testament to the type of people we have here and how they're willing to help each other instead of just looking out for themselves. It's pretty magical, really. Like, I know for a fact it's not everywhere. And the other thing I think that we should all remember is that it's Colorado. And Colorado has been hot for a long time. You know, it's really been picking up. People are moving to the area. And so we've got that going for us. We've already got this natural attraction of money, of investments. And so what I want to send the message out into our communities is let's not talk about re-beginning or getting back to normal. I hope we don't. I hope that we move forward with a little bit more grace, a little bit more grit, a little bit more slowness. Because we've realized how important that is in our lives. And I've had so many business owners tell me, like, I'm not really happy about the loss in revenue, but I really had a time to think about my operations, or we've really learned something that we needed to be doing all along for our users. And so it's been a hard, hard time, you know, as an economic developer, being a person who lifts an economy up. I've had to be a person who calls a business and tells them that they need to close. And that is awful. And I don't want to pretend like my situation is terrible, but it's just been very hard. But at the same time, like, what a time to be alive and watch people be amazing and come up with ways to get to the other side.
Yeah. The other thing I wondered is if you knew of any upcoming funding opportunities for businesses.
Yeah, funding has sort of been consistent in Montrose at the local level. You know, we've got our small business loan funds where businesses, you know, small business can access this fund, $5,000 in total with no interest and no repayment for 12 months. So it's sort of just a way to keep their expenses paid and keep moving forward. we've got the marketing grant available, so that's $1,000 towards marketing, and we're even supplying free design services and professional marketing consulting that goes along with that. So it's actually a greater value. On federal level, you know, that funding has been up and down, and there's definitely things that are still accessible to small businesses. I guess that what I would say right now is a business's best bet for funding is to find a diversification in revenue streams, like make that money. And again, I don't want to appear insensitive, but there are so many ways that you can pivot and adapt. And I think that starting to do that now instead of waiting for things to go back to normal is what we really need to be focusing on, because they're not going to go back to normal. They're not going to go to how they were before. So we have to figure out a way to drive revenue in alternate ways. So that's sort of my tough love portion of the talk today.
Yeah, we all need a little bit of tough love. That's for sure. That was Chelsea Rosti out of Montrose, Colorado. Chelsea is the Director of Business Innovation and Tourism for the City of Montrose and the Development and Revitalization Team. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. On this program, we're talking about innovative ideas and marketing tips for small businesses as we all navigate through this pandemic. Next, we'll hear from Hotchkiss resident and small business owner Jamie Henderson. In addition to being one half of the Storm Cellar Winery, Jamie is also the creator of the blog Holly and Flora. Part of the business model for the Storm Cellar has been engaging with their audience and customers online, even before COVID-19. And they recently hosted a virtual wine tasting series on their Instagram. I asked Jamie to share some of her top tips for all things social media and advice on how to stay connected with your audience and customers during a time where businesses are not yet operating at 100% capacity and while we're still social distancing.
For us, social media has always been a strong component of our brand. It's something we have fun with. It's a vehicle to tell our story and to reach a broad audience, you know, both here in our valley, our county, and our state, but to also a broader audience around the country. So as far as like tips go for marketing small businesses anytime, but especially during, you know, the coronavirus crisis, you know, for agricultural businesses like we are, we aren't slowing down. The season is definitely like ramped up. But for a lot of people, their businesses are on hold. You know, there was a time where we couldn't do any tastings. We couldn't even do bottling yet. We were kind of in limbo with what our financial situation would be. And so one of the tips that I like to share is to use this time to update your basics. You know, if you have just a Facebook page, which is great for your business, you know, dial that in. Make sure that all of your information is up to date. If you just have that Facebook page, try branching out with a website, even if it's basic. Just clearly communicating what you have to offer, keeping it relevant, you know, what you have to offer right now. You know, you might have all of these events that you had planned for the summer listed on it. Definitely use this time to make sure everything is clearly communicated and up to date. You know, if you don't have a newsletter, use this time to start one. Start small, and now is the time to do that. Also, social media channels. What I say is you don't have to be involved in every single one. You don't have to be on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Choose one and dial it in.
One of the things that I think can be overwhelming for myself is this idea of, okay, I've got to have everything up on Facebook and then everything on the website and then everything on Instagram. And you mentioned you could pick one. What's your favorite?
For both of my platforms, you know, with the winery and the blog, I love Instagram. You know, it's very photograph-driven and storytelling-driven. And it's really something that you can just take your smartphone, snap a photo, write a little caption or not, and go. And it becomes almost like a mini-blog, a documentary of what you're doing in your business. And I love Instagram because of that storytelling component. And the thing to me about social media is that it's all about the conversation. It's all about the connections. And especially during this era when you feel so isolated, if your business is closed, tapping into that online community is strengthening your business now, but it's also strengthening it for when you're open and you can actually see people face to face. It's definitely one of the more fun and engaging social channels. You can do live videos. You can just post a photo, take a tour of what you're doing. And that connection is so powerful.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who is not on social media at all? Where is a good place for them to start?
That is a very good question. I've spoken to a lot of people who feel intimidated by getting out there. They feel like we said earlier, you have to cover all of these bases and be, you know, on every single platform. I would say to, you know, pick one. like Facebook. I think all of us have a Facebook account at this point. Start a Facebook business page. And actually, because Facebook and Instagram are owned by Facebook as a company, a lot of things that you post on Instagram or post on Facebook can be promoted or simultaneously posted on the opposite platform. So those two platforms go hand in hand. And there are so many tools that are available for even just the basics. One of the newsletters that I subscribe to is by a company called Later, so L-A-T-E-R. They have amazing tools for people starting out, like what is a hashtag, what is a handle. All of these basics, you know, for Instagram and for Facebook, it's powerful.
That's a great resource for probably a lot of our listeners. I would imagine that most farmers don't have a lot of extra time to be posting on Instagram. And one of the things I think is cool about these different platforms is you can schedule posts to be posted at a later date.
Exactly, which is perfect for someone in, you know, a farming or agricultural role. And a lot of farmers that I've talked to, there are some exceptions that are doing like a really powerful present post, you know, on social media at this point. A lot of people see it as a block. They're like, it's one extra step in my day. Who's even watching it? Where is this going to go? And for me, I say, you always have your smartphone with you. Take a photo. If you're out looking at your crops, if you're out just, you know, examining like bud counts on a vine or looking at how the blossoms fared after a frost, take a photo. People want to see what you think is perceived as mundane. You see it every day. You see it every single season. But for a person sitting like home on the Front Range or out in California that doesn't even know what your climate's like, show them the view of the mountains that most everybody in the valley sees every day, you know, here in Colorado. Show them the picture of that frost event that happened, what you're doing to fix it, irrigation challenges. I mean, what you're planting, your first harvest, the things that arise that you think are normal. Those are the moments that can tie someone to your brand, that can bring someone out to visit you. They can bond with your brand and buy something, you know, in their town or come visit you.
Yeah, it's this insider look into what's going on, and especially in a time where we don't really know how things are going to unfold as far as how many people can be together at any certain point. What else do you have? What other tips do you have?
You know, with respect to that, you know, taking photos, don't feel like you have to have a fancy camera. Really, you can use your phone. Some of the things, tips for even just taking a better photo, wipe that lens. If you're a farmer, you're outside, you are covered in dust a lot of times, wipe the lens before you take that shot. Line it up and be still. And you can come in, you know, eat dinner and host, or like you said, schedule it later on. It doesn't have to be high maintenance. And the more frequently you do it, the easier it becomes. It becomes natural. You're always thinking, I've got to capture this. And it's just a snap, put it back in your pocket, deal with it later on. One thing that I absolutely love is seeing behind the scenes process of, you know, a local business. For example, a gentleman named Chris, he is with Delta Brick out in Delta, and he does factory tours on Fridays. And I love watching his tile making process. I love seeing him show the behind the scenes that I don't even know about tile making, and it bonds me to his product. And those are the stories that people want to see.
Yeah.
And as far as other tips, like I said, get personal. Show your face behind the brand. A lot of social media channels, you'll go to a business's Instagram account and you just see product shots, which is great. That's what people want to do. They want to buy your product. But show the face behind your business and show those behind the scenes moments and make it not feel like a sales pitch. The more sales pitchy you get, you can kind of push people away. You really want to lure them and keep them there as far as like building a community. And think about it. You know, someone walked into your business and said, oh my gosh, I love that handbag that you have for sale. And you just kind of looked at them and then looked away. Think about when people leave a like or a comment on your Facebook, on your Instagram, give a little heart back to them and say, thanks, you know, I sourced this leather from, you know, XYZ company or farm. And then it becomes a conversation. So if you treat people the way that you would treat them in person, as you do on social media, those connections will be all the more tied together. I'll add another thing. Make sure that you're connecting with other businesses. You might see similar businesses as competitors, but honestly, there's power together. If you can brainstorm and see how you can unify, how you can promote each other, and not just see them as a competitor. And another thing that's very powerful is, you know, even thinking about ways to collaborate with complementary businesses. You know, say you're a flower farmer. you could, you know, partner with, you know, a winery, partner with, say, a cheesemaker, find ways to cross promote. People love to see people in your community, businesses in your community connecting. And for us, this whole crisis for us was a call to action. It is for everyone. But it's a time where you can use all of those no's, all of those blocks to really generate some, you know, creative measures that will change your business, not only, you know, during this crisis, but also really set yourself up to be even more powerful after this crisis subsides. And taking the time to build up your social media presence, taking the time to get a newsletter, taking the time to make sure your website is dialed in. Because, you know, this is the time for people. People are really looking online. They're really connecting over social media because of the isolation we've gone through. So I would say that even not play small on your business. You know, you might think, okay, well, we're tourist-driven. Why do we need to have this presence, you know? But how are people going to find you if you don't have that beacon, that social media presence, that website that communicates what you are?
Yeah, and also, we don't know when we're coming out of this. And
exactly.
Regardless if we get out of this in a few months, or I hope this is not the case, but a few years, it sounds to me like it would be important to build that structure now, build your community online now, so that regardless of when we come out on the other side of this, you have that following. You have built this community of potential customers.
Exactly.
For websites, do you have a favorite website platform that you use to design your website?
Yes, I do. So for both of our websites, we use a WordPress. And WordPress has a lot of resources. They have like a WP Beginner is the WordPress Beginner. It actually walks you through like measures that you can take on your website to make you more visible during searches. So with WordPress, you can, you know, obtain free templates. And that resource that WordPress offers, you know, has been invaluable. Like for my Holly and Flora page, I have not paid anyone outside of just my own research. And so WordPress is great. Squarespace is another one that's very simple, that has beautiful templates. Both of those two platforms can also enable shopping. And you can tie in your social media accounts and your newsletter and your blog. And it all sounds really big up front. When you say all of those components, you can get really overwhelmed. But I would say to start, you know, just go ahead and secure a domain, choose a platform. For me, WordPress and Squarespace are two that are very user-friendly for beginners. And then go ahead and choose one social media platform. And like I said earlier, Facebook and Instagram are a shoo-in because of the fact that they are owned by the same company and you can cross-promote and connect. Basically, you're taking one photo, posting it on Instagram, and you can have it automatically post on Facebook. And simplicity, especially in our busy lives, is such a help.
Definitely. One other thing I'm curious about is your personal experience. And as far as your business goes, and you're in the agricultural industry, you know, what are you and Steve and the Storm Cellar projecting for the summer and agritourism, and what's happening with all of that?
We're definitely waiting on a day-by-day basis to see when county and state regulations will allow us to go forward with tastings on site. As of right now, the wineries here in the North Fork Valley are basically sales rooms. You know, they're not any different than walking into a liquor store and purchasing a bottle. Granted, it's great to see people here. Right now, we can welcome visitors, you know, 6 feet apart. We'll be wearing masks, and we can offer bottle sales. But we're all anticipating the time when tasting rooms can be open. It's looking possible. I think today, even, we are going to find out whether or not we can have the same you know, abilities as a restaurant. Restaurants right now can have people, you know, people can come in and enjoy a glass of wine or a cocktail along with food, and they're spaced apart. As wineries, we can't even sell a glass of wine or offer tastings. So as soon as those doors open up for us, I know that all the wineries in our valley will be ready for business. For us, you know, we are going to be open on weekends, and, you know, we'll have our tasting room open and people can sit outside and enjoy glasses of wine or taste. You know, as soon as that's ready, we'll be ready.
And how are you moving forward right now with not having clear answers as far as marketing and social media and getting updates to your community?
Yes, we're making sure that we keep our newsletter updated, that we are communicating on Instagram or Facebook and letting people know a play-by-play. And I think people are expecting a limbo situation. I think people are extending a lot of grace. We had plans to open this weekend for Memorial Day, and we were held back because we didn't have a go-ahead until after the holiday weekend. So for us, we're maintaining communication with our followers, with our guests and customers. But moving forward, we're going to continue to offer virtual tastings. We're going to continue offering these tasting packs that we created during quarantine because we got such a positive feedback. But, you know, those obstacles that we encountered, specifically for us, having no sales revenue for restaurants, wine tastings, or events, having ways to pivot and, come up with a way to meet the needs of our guests and our buyers, that's been monumental. So moving forward, I would say to anyone in this situation is to use this time to, build up your online presence, but don't let it die. Corey, you mentioned earlier, we don't know when this virus is going to stop. We don't know how it's going to change the landscape of communication, but using this time to continue that communication on a social media platform is powerful. And don't let it die after, things change. This is opening up different revenue streams, different customers for us, and ironically, we're finding a sense of gratitude in the limitations that we've encountered.
That was Jamie Henderson of the Storm Cellar Winery in Hotchkiss, Colorado. We hope you enjoyed this Local Motion program on social media and marketing tips for small businesses. Check out kvnf.org for more original Local Motion programs and for links to resources mentioned in this program. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.